The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, June the 20th, 2016. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 108th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: the New Zealand Herald ran a piece on 5 Shakespeare-inspired getaways. Sounds great to me, as summer kicked off yesterday. The Oregon Labor Press covered the signing of a union contract, for the first time, of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival stagehands. Philly.com ran the sad news that the Philadelphia Shakespeare Theater has decided to suspend operations, citing rising costs. As Michael Pennington wraps up his run as King Lear in Cambridge, England, the Cambridge News ran a great piece on him, the role of Lear, and the magic of Shakespeare. The BBC ran a great piece on Shakespearean history, including a great 3-minute video overview of the 2 tetralogies. Philly.com ran a piece by the artistic director of the Old Globe in San Diego, in which he chronicles how Shakespeare has been a part of America's story throughout our history. The Buffalo News ran a piece on the new stage for the Shakespeare in Delaware Park in Buffalo, New York, as it readies for its 41st season, including The Winter's Tale and The Taming of the Shrew this summer. Encore ran a great piece previewing Measure for Measure running in Wilmington, North Carolina, as a protest against HB1, the anti-LGBT legislation. Sounds like a fascinating production. Fredericksburg.com previewed the outdoor productions of The Tempest, Hamlet, and The Taming of the Shrew coming to Fredericksburg, Virginia, this month and August. The Santa Monica Mirror previewed the upcoming production of A Midsummer Night's Dream by the Shakespeare Center of Los Angeles, part of the center's Summer of Shakespeare program, beginning this weekend and continuing through July 10th. Delaware Online reviewed Troilus and Cressida by the Arden Shakespeare Guild, running through the weekend in Wilmington, Delaware, praising its Star Wars-influenced production. Staten Island Live reviewed A Midsummer Night's Dream by Staten Island Shakespeare Theater, running through the weekend on Staten Island, New York, praising it for its unconventional take. The San Jose Mercury News reviewed Love's Labor's Lost by Silicon Valley Shakespeare, running through the weekend in Bromell Park in Willow Glen in Northern California, citing the production's 90s boy band and girl group musical conceit. DC Theater Scene reviewed the recently closed production of Romeo and Juliet by Chesapeake Shakespeare Company in an outdoor setting in Maryland, saying that the show, which has the audience following the action on foot, made for a glorious Sunday afternoon. WBUR reviewed the dual productions of Twelfth Night and What You Will by Bedlam in Cambridge, Massachusetts, running through July 9th. One play, 2 very different interpretations running in rep together. Sounds awesome. The Memphis Flyer reviewed Henry V by Tennessee Shakespeare Company, which closed this past weekend, calling it a spare, visually arresting epic that feels genuinely timeless. The Guardian reviewed Richard III at the Almeida, starring Ralph Fiennes as the not-quite-so-hunchback, giving the production running in London through August 6th a 3 out of 5-star review, lauding Fiennes' performance but taking the framing device to task. The Daily Mail also reviewed the production, giving it 4 of 5 stars, and praises Fiennes' production, announcing that the production will be broadcast to cinemas on July 21st. One can only hope that that includes U.S. cinemas. Syracuse.com reviewed Coriolanus by Syracuse Shakespeare Festival, running in Syracuse, New York, through the weekend, calling this a skilled production that is uncannily timely in this election year. KansasCity.com reviewed Twelfth Night by Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, running through July 3rd in Kansas City, Missouri, calling the production rude, raunchy, and gleeful, which is what it should be. Little Village Magazine reviewed Pericles by Riverside Theater, running in Iowa City, Iowa, through July 7th, saying the production is unique and triumphant. Westward reviewed The Comedy of Errors by Colorado Shakespeare Festival, running through August 7th in Boulder, Colorado, saying the gender-switched production is a joyous, light-as-air celebration. And finally, we have a boatload of reviews for the recently opened Shakespeare in the Park as in Central Park, New York City. The Huffington Post called the all-female production a 425-year-old romp. The New York Daily News gave it a mixed review, saying it lands as many laughs as it misses and doesn't quite add up. The Hollywood Reporter liked the Phyllida Lloyd-directed piece a little more, saying that its tart ending almost makes everything else work retroactively. Yahoo also reviewed the production, running through the end of the month, calling it gorgeously giddy. The Guardian reviewed it as well, giving it 3 of 5 stars and saying that it has plenty of spunk but lacked subtlety. The New York Times said that the streamlined production, 2 hours no intermission, has briskness and clarity which sheds a bright light on the patterns of language and behavior in the play. AM New York gave it 3 of 4 stars, saying it manages to be both enjoyable and outright disturbing. And finally, the Village Voice also reviewed it, saying that the all-female cast may be now the only way to do this play without bowing to the play's misogyny. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On June 14, 1949, noted Shakespearean actor Anthony Scheer was born in Cape Town, South Africa. One of his greatest roles was that of Richard III in 1984 at the Royal Shakespeare Company, an experience discussed in his memoir of the period, Year of the King. Also on this date, in 1919, American-born actor and director Sam Wanamaker was born. He's now chiefly known as the driving force behind the recreation of Shakespeare's Globe Theatre in London, which sadly he never saw completed before his death in 1993. The theater opened in 97. On June 15, 1330, Edward, Black Prince of Wales, was born. The son of Edward III and the father of Richard II, he would predecease his father, leaving the throne to his 10-year-old son. On June 16, 1567, Mary, Queen of Scots, was taken into custody and imprisoned at Lochleven Castle, where she miscarried twins within a week, and a few days later was forced to abdicate the Scottish throne to her infant son, James VI of Scotland, who would later become James I of England. On June 17, 1239, Edward I was born, the king dead center between King John 2 generations before and Edward III, who, well, let's just wait until we have that talk about June 21st. Spoiler, that's next week. On June 18, 1429, Joan of Arc defeated Fastolf and Talbot at the Battle of Patay, as depicted in the first part of Henry VI. On June 19th, 1566, James VI of Scotland was born. He would later become James I of England, following the death of Elizabeth I. It would be James who would become Shakespeare's patron and turn the Chamberlain's men into the King's men. On June 20th, 1947, Benjamin Bugsy Siegel was killed in Hollywood, California. A mobster and one of the founders of Murder Incorporated, he has absolutely no connection to Shakespeare. But consider the play that the bard could have put together about him. On the same day, only this time in 1377, Edward III dies. Because his son Edward, Black Prince of Wales, predeceased him by 7 months, King Edward left the throne to a 10-year-old Richard II, and we know how that turns out. And that was your week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending June the 20th, 2016. For our blog and previous TWIZ episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.